Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him, and he loves us all. The Lord loves us. I know he loves us all. He wants all of his people to be with him in everlasting time forever. He wants all of his people to know and love him, but the Lord, there's no room for sin in his kingdom. And so many times people have attached themselves to sin and allow themselves to sin, and they choose to sin. And then when they have appetite for sinful things, they want to include it. And they look for ways to include it. But I promise you, it is excluded. And it will be proven that it is excluded. When you study the Word of God, Israel, the nation of Israel, the covenant people of God, kept going backwards and forwards, always leaning to the left side, leaning to the ways of darkness, worshiping foolishness such as Baal and Ashtaroth and all these evil deities that they propped up. And the demons that was behind their deception and their seduction and their rebellion, that's what they worship. Why do you think, consider how bad this was when the Word of God became flesh and came to his own people. The priest of all people wanted him dead. They loved power more than righteousness. They wanted our Savior dead. They wanted the Savior that came to save them dead, because they didn't believe and they didn't know him. And though they read the scriptures, they were disconnected from it. In other words, they actually hated. See, you can't hate God without hating his people. And you can't hate God without hating his word. How can you hate the deeds of Jesus without hating God? Jesus said, don't believe me because of what I say. Believe me because of the works that I do. John the Baptist sent word to Jesus' disciples saying, are you the Messiah or do we look for another? Now remember something. John the Baptist knew the stories. He knew that when his mother came, he leaped in her womb. When Mary came around his mother, he knew the story. He knew all of this. He knew what the Lord had showed him. But under such worldly pressure, he sent his disciples to ask, are you the Messiah? Do we look for another? While he's in captivity under Herod. And Jesus said, go tell John the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised again, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. The Lord wants us to love life just like he does. When you're in covenant to ask the Lord to save you, that's a breakthrough all by itself. And after you break through the culture of this world, the deception and the seduction of this world, and all the evil of this world system, and it's designed against you, my friend. The world is not your friend. The world system is not your friend. It hates you. It hates your soul. It hates life. So what's happening is people are being, just like always, every nation systematically is turning to the ways of the worldly way. And the weakness, and they don't see the things of God. They don't see what God has done. The hardness of their heart keeps them blind to the love of God that has went forward. And now you got preachers feel like they got to baby folks into the kingdom of God. No. If you live the life of God, they're going to want it or they're going to reject it. If people love the world somewhere, that's what they will cling to. Now, Jesus knew this all the while. So along the in his relationship with his, you have to watch his relationship with his disciples. He stayed in the presence of God When they needed adjustments, Jesus boldly gave it to them. When they went off track, he told them to their face, eye to eye, face to face, what the problem was. When he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answered correctly. Some said other things. Some said Elijah, one of the prophets. But Peter said, "You are the Son of God, the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't show you this, Simon Bar-Jonah. It was the Father. And upon this rock I'll build my church." See, upon the rock that believes God and rejects the darkness of this world. He said, "Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." Easy to understand. Easy to believe. So Peter's our hero. Walked on water. He's the first to answer who Christ was. He was the first to do a lot of stuff. But then Peter, then right after the Lord said that, he talked about how he would die for us, and how he would go under the enemy's hands and lay down his life for us, which is also easy to understand, but hard to understand when in that day. And Jesus told him what he would do. You know what he said? He told him what he would do. Then charged he his disciples. This is Matthew 16 and 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders. Why the elders? Why would the elders be deceived? They were consumed by the demonic culture. And the chief priests. Why would the chief priests of all people be deceived? They were deceived and gave heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. And the heart was hardened. And the scribes. Why would the scribes be deceived? They write the word of God all day long. All day long. That's their job. That's what they do. But they were systematically deceived. They were leavened. Again, and hardened, and their hearts were just as hard. So let's look at it again. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Now watch what Jesus said in response. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Influence is something that carries on. It don't just stick to the person that's influenced. When you walk into a room of people that's demonically influenced, you walked into a war zone if you love God. And you can sense their influence, and they can sense yours. So when our influence, it must be stronger than the influence of the world, because culture don't stay where it don't stay in one spot. It invades the things of Satan. It's infectious. And when people don't have a strong love for God, and they go around evil company, and they allow themselves to live, it gets easier to hang around it. Because your heart is being hardened. Wise people don't go there. They build themselves up before they go in such an evil place. Sometimes you have to in life. You have to go to work where people are. You have to go to work, or you have to go to school. And sometimes it's just a den of thieves. And you make friends with people that are friends with those that do wrong. God forbid you marry somebody that loves the wrong ways. So culture has influence, but God does too. But God's influence, you have to choose his ways. It's not an accident. You choose the ways of God. You choose to love. You choose to the influence of the word. You receive it into your heart on purpose. Now, when I'm a parent, so I taught my children things. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what life would be like. I had to prepare them for it and show them the word of God and let them know you have to stick with it. It's your choice. The world will definitely try to pull you the wrong way. And something will happen to your influence. Your influence will, if you don't protect what God has given you, the enemy is going to try to steal it from you. And as you play with the world, he's going to try to take it from you. You know, when Satan was considering Job, he was looking for somebody to replace Nimrod. He was looking for somebody that people would look to start another Nimrod. He's been trying to do that ever since. He's still trying to, you know, he found himself an Antichrist, but the Antichrist can't appear. And he always had somebody that could be the Antichrist. I believe that. Pierre Stone said that the man, the Antichrist, is alive now. But that's irrelevant. The Antichrist can't do what he wants. He has to create darkness first. He has to have enough people on his side that will kill and murder just like he is. Just like he would do. And see, the Lord is patient. This is the last hours before he come to judge the earth. The Antichrist is set up to seduce people into more and more darkness and to hinder people. Everything that everybody, the harvest that would love God, he's trying to corrupt that and the people that should be winning souls. You know, the pool of the world, we all fit it. It's around. If you, just like I said, if you walk into a room and there's a den of adulterers, a den of thieves, or a bunch of witches, you're going to feel the push. You're going to feel it in your chest that something ain't right. And the culture, if you hang around, it'll harden your heart. And they think that their evil is strength. That, you know, and people have bloodlust. They have flesh lust. They have greed. And it hardens the heart to the point that they love these demons more than they love the Holy Spirit and the ways of God. But see, when you're thoroughly dedicated to the Lord and God is formed in you because his word is in you, you love his word. You love what's right. You love life. You love what Jesus came to do. You love redemption towards everybody. Now they can feel that. That's real strength. And it exposes what they are. And they hate it. So, again, Peter took him aside. This is verse 22 again. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it, shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming in agreement with the Lord. He's coming in the glory of He's coming in the glory of his Father. He's coming in agreement with his Father, with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Then he said this, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." See, God showed it to others that were there. Now, but see, in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. In modern times, if Jesus came now, it would be the evangelists, pastors, and prophets, and the apostles trying to kill him. If we were like Jerusalem, of course. People that should be out there pounding the pavement, helping people see God. They're the ones that wanted him dead. So, you know, Isaiah prophesied that a consumption would come. People will love darkness so much that it will consume the world itself. Darkness covers the earth, and great and gross darkness the people. But guess what? God always has people, a remnant of people that love him, that love his ways, love his word, love his will, love his people, love redemption. They love life like they love God. And they don't bow down to Baal. There were priests that didn't conform to the evil of the day. There were scribes that didn't conform to the evil of the day. There were elders that didn't fall according to the sin of the elders, chief priests, scribes of the day. And then notice the elders first. So this was an evil persuasion that the enemy has been brooding a long time. So there's no room. Who gives a man the right to be destructive in God's holy kingdom? Why do people think they can go to heaven and be destructive and take what God didn't give and loot people and hurt people and despise people in their heart? Why would God take a poison to his kingdom? Why would God take another person that would turn into a devil in his kingdom? That doesn't make sense. I don't blame him. Everything Jesus leave, he ought to leave. Everything he take with him is safe. The Lord told me that not one mistake would be made. Why do people think that they'll be included and they won't repent from their ways, from darkness? Is it reasonable for me to believe that I can be evil in my heart, smile in God's face, and he take me to heaven? No. I say, Lord, help me kill things that could be in my blind spot. Help me hate everything that's of Satan, and love everything that's of you. Help me do all that's in your heart. If it's not like Jesus, I don't want it in my life. I don't want it in my mind. I don't want it in my memory. I don't want it in my entertainment. Now God can work with a person that would get down to business with God. I'm still here on this dirty planet. And it's an evil, it's a nasty planet. So I don't want none of that junk in my heart. I don't ever want to be reluctant against the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit want to do, I want to be ready on board and let's go do it. That's what I desire. And that's what everybody should desire. It's not reasonable to believe that God, that a person can just do what they want to do and excuse the things that God warned them about. And why do preachers feel like they have to pet people into the kingdom of heaven? If you want to live. If you present people with the love of God, the light of God's word, they're either going to love it or hate it, one or two. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Or you're going to despise one and love the other. I made a choice with all that was within me. I didn't know everything. I said, Lord, I want to be saved. And the enemy knew that I was about to pray the prayer of salvation. And he said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. I said, I don't care. This is right. And God blessed me. I know Christians can get bored, but I have not been bored. God did a miracle because I have never been bored since that moment. Never. I don't remember a moment in time that I was just bored. Because when I'm somewhere, there's nothing to do. I just pray. I automatically pray. I enjoy the Lord's presence. If I wake up and can't sleep, I think about the goodness of God. I ask the Lord questions. I pray for whatever I need. I pray for people as they pop in my mind. It's not hard. I love God. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His people. And I'm excited for my sake when Jesus comes. But every day that I can do His work here on the earth and be a blessing, I thank God for that. I'm not suicidal. I don't want to die. I want to serve God with all of my health, with all of my strength, with all of my might. And I always teach people to fight back and do things in God's strength. But see, I want to be strong in my body, strong in my mind, strong in my spirit. I want to prosper like my soul prospers. I want everything working right, perfectly in alignment with the Lord. One thing that need to be preached better is the flesh. If you have a born again spirit and you receive God's word and reject the evil influences of the world, your mind can be renewed and your flesh can be bridled to the point that you can live in alignment with God. You don't have to desire the nasty things of this world. We don't have to. That can be dealt with. That's what I asked for. But if you ask the wrong people, they'll say, well, nah, Paul said in chapter 7 that, when you want to do good, the flesh is... People act like they're scared of the flesh. I'm not scared of no flesh. My flesh or anybody else's flesh. The flesh can be bridle. It can be a blessing and not a curse. And without it, you can't work in this realm. You can't bring heaven in this realm unless you got the flesh. You have to set things up. You have to give people heavenly information while you're in the flesh. And the flesh can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And the flesh can have godly desires instead of evil desires. It doesn't have to continue, act like Jesus did nothing. But people teach it that way. But see, they didn't read chapter 8 good, because chapter 8 talks about life in the Spirit. You can override whatever's out there in the world. The first battle you got to win is the battle within. That's what I'm talking about now. The battle within can be won. And see, one way you disconnect from the world, first of all, if you walk into a room that's a den of thieves or a den of adulterers, a den of homosexuals or whatever it is, that they got persuasion, whatever they're doing, that's their persuasion. And when it challenges you, You can withstand all of it with your shield of faith, the word that you put in your heart. One thing that I learned, and I, you know, one scripture says we're complete in Christ. You don't need anything from anyone because you have Jesus Christ. If you look at it that way, I don't need anything from anyone. And if people do good towards me, that is a bonus. Everybody I love, everybody I care about, I don't need anything from anyone to be content in Jesus. I am whole. I found this out. But when I asked the Lord to teach me things, he taught me things. And he showed me things. And he helped me see what I didn't see before. And see, I learned these things in the worst times in life. I learned to fight when I lived next to a drug house. I learned to fight spiritually. I applied what I learned from Kenneth Hagin, from the Lord, and what Chris Lucas taught me about authority. I applied the authority that I learned from Jesus. And I listened to the Kenneth Hagin. I knew I had authority since 1983 when I first got saved. But I didn't know what level it could be on until I listened to the tapes by Kenneth Hagin. Mr. Austin's tapes. He let me listen to them, and I listened to them, and I listened to them for a month. And I got some things right. The Holy Spirit helped me receive his word. And then every time that was a gunfight, I would rebuke it, and it would always work. At first, to my surprise, it became a way of life. But see, the first battle had to be won, the battle within. If you love the world, you can't fight right. If you agree with Satan, you can't follow Jesus right. If you love the world, wherever you love the world, you cannot preach right. You'll become a soothsayer instead of a man of God. See, when God is formed in you, you can't sin. You cannot do it. If you know you're complete in Christ and you don't need anyone, you're not trying to win anybody's approval, and you don't need it anyway. But you know you don't need it anyway. And you really don't care whether they approve of you or not. It's irrelevant. But when people do believe and receive what Jesus is saying, that is a blessing, not only to you, but to the whole body. That's what we want. That's what we strive for. But when people don't agree with you personally, or they don't see what you see, you don't need them to anyway. If you have revelation from the Lord, God just taught you something that's beautiful, and the people you look to don't seem to honor it or believe it, that's irrelevant. You still got the revelation. They didn't take it from you, and they can't take it from you. If they don't agree with it, they can't benefit from it. And that's sad, but you can show it to somebody who will benefit from it. And you can also pray and ask the Lord, is there anything I can do to help them benefit from it? Whatever you do, do it in love. If you have the word and you have a new strength, or strength is new to you, you can always walk in the love of God. Remember, the word is sown in peace. What people don't receive today, they may receive tomorrow. They may receive it over time. They may not ever receive it. But at least you can be faithful, and you can be appropriate in all that you do. And that's as good as you can do. With God, all things are possible, and your prayers avail much. But you can't help nobody if you allow darkness within. Now, these are the things the Lord told me about when he raptured his people. He said when he raptured his people, not one mistake would be made. Everybody he take, he should have took. Everybody he leave behind, he should have left behind. Then he said this. He said people on earth would be looking for their people, and people in heaven would be looking for their people after the rapture happened. And sometimes in heaven, they'll find them. because so many people are going to be raptured. People are going to be looking for people. But everybody who holds on to darkness and let the and they don't deal, they don't reject the darkness, they'll be rejected. See, when the Lord told me Friday, he said, when a man chooses sin, any kind of sin, when a man chooses to sin, it disconnects him from life. And he also said, when people have sin, you know, when Jesus returns and people have sin in them, he's going to leave them where they stand. Now, that was not a concept that I would have thought about. But the Lord told me that a certain way, so I know it was him. Because it's relevant and it's about to happen. These are the last moments before his glorious return. So, one way to sum all this up is what John said. He said, love not the world, neither the things that be in the world. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If you, the point is this, if you love those things, you can't resist it. See, you can't resist it if you love it. And if you don't, if you tolerate it, it'll become leaven and it'll cause you problems. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Very important. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father at all, but is of the world. I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ.